ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, we have 17 themes to be completed in 13 chapter. Okay, now we have, we'll try to complete as many as we are in. Which one? Fifth one. Fourth one we finished, and yeah, we're going to the fifth one. Ah yeah, text number 9. Yeah. Brahmovach ప్రీతస్తుభ్యం అహం తాత స్వస్తిస్తాత్ వాం క్షితీశ్వర యన్నిర్వ్యలీకేన హృదా షాధిమేత్యాత్మనార్పితం.
Lord Brahma said, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions.
Pritastubhyam, I am pleased with you, he is telling. Swastistat. So he's giving blessing. See? Swastistad Vam Kshiti Ishwara. Kshiti Ishwara. Oh, king of the earth. I offer my blessings for you. Both you and your wife, he's saying. Yan Nirvali Kena Hrida. He's saying, without any reservation, you have surrendered to me. And then he's saying that, you have opened your heart for my instructions. Here is the purport, very important purport.
The relationship between the father and the son is always sublime. The father is naturally disposed with goodwill towards the son, and he is always ready to help the son in his progress in life. But in spite of the father's goodwill, the son is sometimes misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. Every living entity, however small or big he may be, has the choice of independence. If the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. The father and son relationship, as exhibited herein, the dealings of Brahma and Manu, is excellent. Both the father and the son are well qualified, and their example should be followed by all humankind. Manu, the son, unreservedly asked the father, Brahma, to instruct him, and the father, who was full of Vedic wisdom, was very glad to instruct. The example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind, and that will advance the cause of the relationship of fathers and sons.
Yeah. So the sublime relationship, Prabhupada uses the word sublime. The relationship between father and son is always sublime, he says. So, the relationship should be between the father and son is such that the father's heart is naturally filled with the blessings and good wishes for the son. Therefore, the father is considered to be like a friend of the son, in that sense. And you will see, even in India, in the material relationship between a father and a son, the son is confident that my father wants me to become an educated man and take up a job, settle in life, or sometimes even assist in his business. He wants to see me grow in my life. He wants to see me succeed. He wants to see me flourish. He wants to see me empowered. He wants me to become even better than himself. also. And in this way, he not only wants to see these things happen on its own course, but he is willing to facilitate all these things happen by providing money, by providing resources, by providing guidance, by revealing secrets, what all he knows, by sharing his realizations, his experiences. My father is actually willing to share everything that he has and he knows to see me flourish. So this, if this is the confidence of the son, this should be the confidence of the son. At the same time, the father should be non-envious of the son's progress, of the son's growth. And the father shouldn't consider the son a competitor. Or a father shouldn't fear that the son will substitute me. The father shouldn't hide secrets in helping the son grow or hold the resources or cut down his growth. So the father has to be non-envious. That's very important also. The history has seen all kinds of people. Like Hiranyakashipu was a very dangerous father. You know, he didn't like the advances and progress of his son Prahlad becoming a devotee and flourishing in his spiritual life. He didn't like. He was cutting it down. You can see that. On the other hand, we can see sons like Aurangzeb, who put his father in the prison. You know, he didn't like Kamsa. In his talk, he says, "Ugrasenam staviram." He says, "Ugrasena is a worldie." He's saying. So he says that he is good for nothing, and then he's saying, you know, many others. I will finish Krishna. I will finish Balaram, and the Ugrasena is a worldie just sitting here. He doesn't have to be the king. He can just relax. I will become the king, he says. Finally, Kamsa was killed and Ugrasena was put on post. You know, although he was a old, very old person, still Krishna made him the king. Correct, no? Of Mathura. You will see that. But Kamsa was so proud and self-confident that he thought Ugrasena is a oldie and he's good for nothing. So he didn't have a good relationship with his father, Kamsa, if you see. Kamsa had an envious relationship with the father. He, just like Aurangzeb wanted to put his father Shah Jahan into the prison. Why? Because he thought he's a nuisance. Then he thought he can rule. So it is a bad son, example of bad son, correct, no? We can see examples of bad sons. See, a bad son, we are talking here in relation to father. But there are other bad sons, like Vena, who brought bad reputation to the kulam, to the family by his, you know, very erratic and very bad behavior. He didn't do any harm to his father because he was born, you know, I mean, Vena, for example, he was misbehaving and doing many wrong things and the father could not rectify him. Correct? No. So he brought bad repute to the father. So a son can bring bad repute to father, or the son can put father only in the prison and he may consider father an obstacle in his progress. He doesn't feel father enlightened enough to advise him. Correct? No? He thinks, I know everything syndrome, we call it. I know everything. Tum hat jao. That kind of mentality son can have. Or the son becomes envious of the father and proud of himself. Correct? No? Such kind of thing can happen. Prabhupada writes in one of the Bhagavatam shlokas, it says, for the sake of wealth and lands, you know, Kshatriya brothers have killed one another. Even brothers have killed. Where it comes, you know? It comes in that Ashwatthama section. There is one shloka which says, the brothers can kill other brothers. They can kill. Or they can kill even the father also, if they consider the father a thorn in their sense gratification program. Like that. So they can become inimical. So these are bad sons. On the other hand, the good sons like Manu are being explained here. Swayambhava Manu is a good son who Brahma is very pleased with him. And what qualities Brahma is talking here? You know, you are surrendering without any reservation and you are opening your heart for instruction. These two things he's telling. So surrendering without reservation means sometimes if a son surrenders to father only because the father has a big property. He has estates, property, company, bank balance, So he will be very polite and sweet and loving, gentle, behaved with the father. Once all the money is transferred to his name, he will not know where the father is. He will not care. Therefore, many parents don't transfer until they are about to be in the deathbed. And son often will say, see, you are getting very, very old. Doctor says you won't live for more than a month. Can you please write away the will? Many of them don't write. They'll say, no, I will write. At least I'll write and keep it. Signature I'll put only when I'm about to die. Because the moment they put signature, then what happens? The son will ignore the father. Because he knows that right now he is weighty because of the property, money and all these things. Once that is taken away, he is spineless, he is boneless. He thinks he is good for nothing. That means in his heart there is no, respect for the stature of his father or love for the father, obedience to the father. That is not there. So his so-called affection is only a drama. Correct, no? That kind of relationship is also seen. Because sometimes the son may think father may be useful to promote himself. He may think, because the father's empowerment may help me to become popular. The father's resources may be of help to me. Like that he may think. So he may use the father for his own purposes. Correct, no? Such a son is also a bad son actually. Because the relationship is not very, not a very appropriate relationship. So, but on the other hand, good sons, example, Rishabhadev's 100 sons. If you see that picture, any of you have seen the fifth canto, how the Rishabhadev's sons are sitting? Any of you have seen the picture? What did you observe in the sons? Okay, folding the hands and they're hearing class. Okay, you all don't have to fold, don't worry. Only they're folding the hands, what else you observe? They're very attentive. And they have shown a smiling face also. They are also very enthusiastic. How many of you have seen that picture? Rishabhadev. And one son is sitting in the front with a this thing also, peacock feather. They have put peacock feather because who is that? Oh, sorry. He is Bharat. Bharat is not, he is wearing a mukut, he is wearing. But Rishabhadev is wearing peacock feather. Rishabhadev is the father who is Lord Vasudev. You know. So, that means they are surrendering without reservation and eager to hear instructions. These two things he is saying. So, reservations means what? Conditional surrender. That's the meaning of reservation. Reservation means what? You know, when I have to get something out of you, I will dance, I will fall at your feet, I will roll on the ground, I will take your dust on my head, and I will behave as if I am sold out to you when I want to get something done from you. And when there is nothing to be done from you, you know, you will never see me. Or even if you call me a dozen times, I won't come to you. Because I don't have anything to do from you. That is, you understand what I'm saying? So, this type of relationship is a material relationship. You see? It's based on sense gratification. Sense gratification. So, there can be defect in the father, defect in the son. Similarly, sublime qualities of father, sublime qualities of son. Both, all four can be discussed. Correct, no? So, but we get an idea from here, the nice relationship between Brahma and Swayambhu Mano. And Prabhupada very beautiful writes in the purport. In spite of the father's goodwill, the son sometimes is misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. But the opposite of that is, Prabhupada says, the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father. The father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. So this point he is emphasizing why generally there is a difference in opinion between father and son due to the age gap also. We call it as a communication gap. Because the son thinks my father is in, you know, is in the consciousness of 10-20 years back. He is in the old world, I am in the new world. My father doesn't know the new world. Things have changed. Times have changed. But my father is an oldie and he's having repetitive, old, stereotyped, conventional, you know, ideas. He is not keeping abreast of the changes of the world. Like that the son feels. And the father feels that the son is premature, you know, son is innocent, he's ignorant and he requires to be guided by me. You know, he is like an upstart doing things on his own. Why does he doesn't come to me? Why doesn't he consult me? This is father's consciousness. And the father thinks, I have got many old valuable information. Old is gold. You know, like that he feels. So in this way, they both feel a gap between themselves. The older generation and new generation, as we say. But the what should be the attitude of the son? The son should be willing to lend his ears, like Prabhupada says, unreservedly he surrenders and he is willing to listen. Sometimes you will find the father, due to his old age, he may have more love to offer than even knowledge for the son to immediately act. And the son may sometimes be able to keep abreast of times. So one should be able to appreciate the affection of the father and the concern of the father. Concern means fear. Father fears that he should not make wrong decisions. And affection means he is eager to guide. So in our homes also, our father, our grandfather and all, you can see that even if they have some stereotyped things which they keep saying again and again, sometimes you will see that. They may keep saying, and you may say, how many times I heard this from him? And they will tell from their experience also. They will say, when I was a boy like you, you know, I did this. You may say, this is the 100th time you are telling me. You may think like that. But one can see the affection of the father. You know, and his eagerness to connect with us, eagerness to share with us, eagerness to open the truth what he knows. So the affection between son and the father is a very core phenomenon. The Bhagavatam repeatedly it is explained. And Dharma Prabhupada says, the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide, he says. If the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father. And in case the son thinks he knows, and he says also, that I know, don't keep repeating, I am not a fool. You know, you don't have to tell me 10 times, once if you say I know it, then how will the father decode it? Oh, he doesn't respect me. He doesn't take my word seriously. He is ignoring my authority. He thinks he knows everything. He is too proud. These are the ways he will decode. Correct? Then the relationship becomes strained. So in some families you will find the son says, release the money, release the property, release the shop to me, I will run the show. And the father says, you know, let the good time come. I will do it at appropriate time. So there's a tug of war. It's not a very good relationship. So here Brahma and Manu relationship is a very sweet relationship. Unreserved surrender and opening the heart for instruction. These two things Brahma is taking note. And then 10th verse. Come to the 10th one. Also in the Chanakya's Niti, he talks about a son who is not learned. Apandita. A son who is not a buddhiman. A son who is not a bhaktiman. Neither a buddhiman nor a bhaktiman. Such a son is good for nothing, he says. It is better to not have a son than to have a fool as a son. Like that Chanakya says. So at least son should be buddhiman or bhaktiman. Like that he says. So here Swayambhava Manu is both. He is buddhiman also, bhaktiman also, and charanagat also, surrendered also. So Brahma is very pleased to have a son like this. You know, already Brahma earlier was disturbed because he created Chatushkumaras, 4 Kumaras, and they refused to beget children. So he became angry and was disturbed. Now he got another son, you know, I mean, now you will find Swayambhava Manu, who is obedient. He is agreeing to become, you know, Prajapati and expand the population and run the world. And in this way, Brahma becomes very pleased. So he is using special words. In the first line he is saying, Tata. Pritas tubhyam aham Tata. Tata word is used especially out of affection for someone. Like, you know, Yamaraj calls his Namo charana matrena hare pashyata putrakaha. He says, no? Hey, my sons, look at the power of the holy name of the Lord. Like that Yamaraj is telling his servants. Who? Yamakinkaras, like that. Similarly, Krishna is telling, Parthanaiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyana kritkaschit durgatim tata gachati. Tata means, oh my dear one. Oh darling, or my dear son, like that, that is the meaning. So this word, he is also using the word tata. Yeah. At the same time, he is treating Swayambhu Manu with respect as the king of the world. Kshiti Ishwara is telling. So you will find Srila Prabhupada doing the same, like Brahma. Then Prabhupada would say, today with us we have His Holiness Kirtanan Swami Maharaj. We have His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Prabhupada, how many of you heard Prabhupada say that? Correct, no? Just because they happen to be His disciple, He doesn't say, here is, you know, Kichanananda, you know, here is Ramananda. He doesn't say like that. Correct, no? They are His disciples only. Prabhupada occasionally joked with Kirtanan Swami saying that you are Kichanananda, because you are expert in making puffed chapatis, you know. But when it comes to public assembly, Prabhupada never called any nickname or anything. He gave them due respect. We have Kirtanan Swami Maharaj, we have Satsupadas Goswami Maharaj. So he gave them respect. So he gave affection and respect, both. Tata also and Kritishwara, both he said. And then 10th verse. Yetavatyatma jairvira karya hyapachitir gurau shaktya pramattair grihyeta sadaram gatamatsaraihi. Translation.
Oh hero, your example is quite befitting a son in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. One who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity.
This is a very, very important verse. It has five words which are used for how ideal servant should behave. You will see that he is saying apachitihi, that's the first word, which means you are worshipping my instructions. That means you are taking my instructions very seriously. You are not taking me lightly. See, sometimes a son may think father is a buddhu, you know, he's ignorant. I know better. He's not as smart as me. But can he worship father's instruction? Far from worshipping instruction, he doesn't even consider his very existence. He will look through him. He can see through him from somewhere else. So, but here he says apachiti means, you know, taking the father's instruction very seriously. That is apachiti. Then he is saying, like our prachetas, how they took the instructions of Lord Rudra, Shiva, Rudra Gitam, very seriously, with great attention they heard and they repeated that. So they worshipped his instruction. It is said, dhyayanta, smarantascha, pujayanta. These three words are used. They meditated, they worshipped, and they executed the instructions. You see? That is apachiti. And then he is saying, shaktya. He was ready to put his full capacity. That means he didn't do a half-hearted job. Sometimes you give a service to a devotee and he says, Prabhuji, you know, if nobody else is available, you give it to me. Like that they say. Then you come back to him and say, Prabhu, now I couldn't find anybody else, so I am giving you. And he says, Prabhuji, as such, you know, I cannot do this service so well, Prabhu. There are other devotees who can do it better. Then the devotee may say, no, nobody is available, Prabhu. You are only available, you only do it. Then he will do the service half-hearted. In order to prove that next time you don't come to me. So he doesn't put his full capacity. He will give excuses. He will say, Prabhuji, the vehicle was not available to go to market. He will say. Or he will say that, you know, Prabhuji, you know, partly I have done it. Can you do the other part with somebody else? So you will see that once a person doesn't have the heart to do something, like once a devotee was told to do transcript, you know, of some 5 pages urgently. So this devotee was telling, you know, Prabhu, you know, I'm not very good in typing, Prabhu. And he was giving many excuses. Finally, when nobody else was to be given, he was only given full of spelling mistakes and no proper alignment also. The work was so bad that it had to be rejected. Somebody else had to be given. And not that he is incapable of doing, but some people don't put their full capacity. They don't put their full capacity. Because it could be due to lethargy, it could be due to the person who is giving it. They don't have so much respect. For example, If I tell, Radhesham Das calls and tells somebody, they may take it in one way. If somebody younger to me, you know, tells them to do the same thing, they will immediately look at the face. Who is the fellow who is telling me? He is the fellow. Yeah. Even if I don't do also, then they will put lesser capacity. Correct, no? Some people, you understand what I am saying? You will see that. But as soon as a very senior man is telling them, oh, they will immediately, yes, Prabhuji, done, Prabhuji. They will be very enthusiastic. So therefore, you will find that people don't put their full capacity, shaktya, he says. And then he is saying, Griheta, sadaram. So, adaram means with great delight he takes up the service. He accepts the service, order, with great delight. He is not grudging, he is not reluctant, he is not. And then he is telling, gatamatsarahi. He is saying, he doesn't have envy for the father. He's saying. Actually, why will he have envy for the father? Sometimes the father will be, you know, so much glorified. Yeah. Because the father actually has begotten the son. Naturally, the father deserves the glorification many times. Like for example, in the GBC meeting, they were glorifying Param Pooja Radhanaswami Maharaj for sending devotees to Calcutta. Maharaj, thank you very much for sending all your, so many of your disciples to. So when Guru is glorified, disciples are automatically glorified. You shouldn't expect that, you know, hey, why my name is not taken? If somebody thinks like that, that means he is a separatist in mentality. Bhinnadrik. Bhinnadrik means he wants separate adoration. Because he considers himself different from the father. You understand, no? As soon as we desire a separate glorification for ourselves from the superior, then we become a separatist, Bhinnadrik mentality. And we have envy for the superior also. Correct, no? But when the superior is glorified, we are also included with the superior as a part and parcel. We are also included, naturally included. And also, the total set is given the glorification always. So, in this way, he says that, you know, you execute the instructions given with full capacity, and you do it with great delight, and you accept the order with great delight, he is saying. Actually, why we may not accept order with great delight? We always think, if I do it with full delight now, credit will come to whom? Correct, no? That is the question. If my name will come, I will take it with great delight. If I am one of the 10 fellows who will do the work, and then name will be of someone else superior, then one will not take it with great delight. See, these are all very, makes it clear. How many points are there here? 4 or 5? Yeah. Very beautiful verse it is. See, Prabhupada says in purport, the Kumaras refused to accept the order of father and Brahma had become angry. Therefore, in obedience of Saimavanu was very encouraging to Brahma. And last line, Prabhupada saying, Manu's obedience to his father on material grounds was certainly free from envy. In the material world, it is imperative for ordinary men to follow the example of Manu, he's saying. So he had no envy for the father. He didn't feel the father is a competitor or something. Correct, no? Actually, one is a bhinnadrik, then they will consider the superior as competitor. I am a competitor of my superior, that kind of thing will be there. So this is the essential point. Executing the order of superior without envy, with great delight, to our full capacity. What is the fourth one? With great respect. Yeah, correct. The four things he is saying. Great respect, yeah. Anybody can give example of other ideal sons from the Shastra? One example he gave was Rishabhdev, Lord Rama, following the instruction of Dasharath. See, when Lord Rama was told, you will be coronated as a king, and few moments later he was told, you will have to go to forest 14 years, there was not even an iota of disappointment on his face. The face was, it's a little difficult for us, no? Isn't it? Absolutely, what to speak of little disappointment, people would loudly cry. Why have you cheated me like this? What wrong did I do? You know, correct, no? But he was sent to forest for 14 years. No difference, because this goes to show how transparent Lord Rama is. He's simply living to execute the instructions. Any other example? Yeah? Narada following the instructions of Bhaktivedantas. Is it? Who? Brahma, yeah. Brahma fulfilling instructions of the Lord. And Lord is shaking hand of Brahma. Yeah? Oh, Guru?
Puru.
Puru. Oh, Puru. I thought Guru, I thought. Okay. Puru, Puru, yeah. Puru fulfilled the order of his father. What is father's name? Yeah, Dayati. Dayati son, Puru. He became obedient son. Uttama Chintitam Kuriyat. Correct, no? He is saying Bharat Maharaj followed Rishabhadev's instruction. See, Rishabhadev wanted his first son to become the king. So he was thinking in the mind, can I call my son and check with him? Sanchintya, it is said, Manasa. When he was thinking in the mind, that time only Bharat became agreeable. He was willing to fulfill his instruction. Some people are so intelligent that in the mind only, when the desire comes, one immediately understands. Uttamas Chintitam Kuryat. He was like that. So like this, you can give examples of good sons. Good sons and bad sons, yeah. It's very nice for us. So the 10th one I have finished. 10th verse. Yeah. Then we'll go to the 11th to 13th. Leader's duty towards his dependents. Read the translations. 11 to 13.
Since you are my very obedient son, I ask you to beget children qualified like yourself in the womb of your wife. Rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus worship the Lord by performance of yajna.
Yeah, he's giving different instructions. He's saying beget children, and that is one of the first instruction. Expand the family, becoming a prajapati. Then he's saying rule the world, that is his job. That is his professional duty he is giving him. And then he is saying, worship the Lord. That is his devotional duty. So we all have three duties. Family duty, professional duty, devotional duty. Correct, no? So his family duty is beget children, expand the population, he is telling. And professional duty is rule the world, which means ruling includes plenty of things, as we said before. Protection, administration, welfare, making Varnashrama system, you know, for all the praja, giving them engagement and all that. Rule the world. And also making the state law and everything. And worship the Lord, because without worshipping the Lord by yajna, you know, nothing will be successful. It's like a string of zeros without that. So in this way, Brahma starts giving instructions. Actually, when a disciple is obedient and respectful, then he gets priceless instructions for development. He develops. He grows, he blossoms. Like Brahma got also instructions. That was, you know, what that was? Jnanam paramaguhyam me yadvijnana samanvitam sarahasyam tadangam cha grahana gaditam maya. So Lord Vishnu is telling grahana gaditam maya. You know, Brahma, accept these things. I will give you jnanam, which is paramaguhyam. And I will give you vijnanam, he is saying. And I will give you rahasyam, which is devotional service. I will give you Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, and I will give you knowledge for how to create the universe, how to create all the species of life, everything. That means I will give you devotional wisdom, I will give you a professional wisdom also, I will give you. And he says, your faith in me is also given by me because of your sincerity. So, here also, in the same manner, when Brahma is pleased, you know, his good wishes, along with his good wishes, good instructions are arising in Brahma's heart and he is spelling them out. Do this, this, this is things. And if a subordinate or a disciple is not surrendered, then the superior will be reserved to give instruction. Can you give example for this? From the Shastra? Karna. What happened with Karna? Who was his superior? Parashuram. But Parashuram taught him. Ekalavya could not get instruction from Dronacharya because of his disqualification. Yeah? Because of his state of mind. Actually, he was more bogged up with his material lamentation and he was in no mood to receive good instruction. So good instructions didn't arise in the mind of Angira Muni. But if the disciple is like a recipient, immediately good instructions will be spelled out. Yes? Correct. Demigods didn't come. I mean, Brahma didn't come. Correct. Brahma knew that he was in no good mood to receive instruction. So he did not give instruction. Although he insulted not only Shiva, he insulted Brahma also. He called Brahma as Parameshti. This Parameshti has told me to give my daughter in marriage to Shiva, so I gave. He offended Shiva and Brahma also. So Brahma didn't give because Upadesho hi Murkanam. Prakopayana Shanti. A fool cannot be given instruction. So he left him. Correct, no? He is like a moth entering fire. He left him. So to draw the instructions of the Guru, the disciple has to present these qualifications, which were said in the 10th verse. So the 10th verse talks about disciple's qualification and the 11th verse talks about what instructions Guru gave, Brahma gave. Now, isn't it? So he's giving him all the instructions, do this, do that. Also, Prabhupada says, Ishta Goshti means a group of disciples come together and discuss about the instructions and the expectations and desires of the Guru. That is actually called Ishta Goshti. Ishta means what? Something which you like, correct, no? What is the one which you should like the most? Guru's instruction. That is Ishta Goshti. People come together and then somebody who is associating with the Guru has drawn some of the instructions and put them down in paper. He comes and shares. He said, we should do this, we should do that. And then everybody comes together. They churn it. And how to give shape to those instructions. One things like that. So, and the instructions only will come when there is a receptacle is powerful. Then instructions will come. Correct, no? Otherwise, there is a kind of, what do you call it, resistance between the guru and disciple. You know, the guru has instruction, but he is not willing to give. And the disciple has no receptivity and he wants to independently act on his own. So there is a opaque blockage between the two, correct, no? Nothing like that. So it's a very beautiful verse, 10 and 11. 12, you read it? 12 also can read. Some more instruction is giving in 12. Yeah.
O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you.
He's saying you should give proper protection to the living beings. That will be the best service you will do for me. And then when Lord sees you are a good protector of the conditioned souls, he will become pleased with you. So here the instruction is that as a king you should be a good protector. And Prabhupada explains what is protection. Read the purport, very important purport.
The whole administrative system is arranged for the purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Brahma is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Manu is the representative of Brahma. Similarly, all other kings on different planets of the universe are representatives of Manu. The law book for the entire human society is the Manu Samhita, which directs all activities towards the transcendental service of the Lord. Every king, therefore, must know that his responsibility in administration is not merely to exact taxes from the citizens, but to see personally that the citizens under him are being trained in Vishnu worship.
Yeah. Like not only the Manu is in charge, on behalf of Manu, all the kings, like our prime minister of a country also, he is responsible for the deliverance of all the people. Therefore, our PM of India has come up with some contests on Bhagavad Gita, you all know? Huh? Like the Bhagavad Gita and essay writing and so many different kinds of things. Actually, now lakhs of people are reading Bhagavad Gita and trying to extract the message and write an essay to get a prize, correct? No? So in this way, it is the duty of the executive head of state, whoever it be, whichever country it be. They should not only worry about providing them roti kapda makan, food, clothing, shelter, but also make a plan for their going back home, back to Godhead.
Everyone must be educated in Vishnu worship and engaged in the devotional service of Rishikesh, the owner of the senses. The conditioned souls are meant not to satisfy their material senses, but to satisfy the senses of Rishikesh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the purpose of the complete administrative system. One who knows this secret, as disclosed here in the version of Brahma, is the perfect administrative head. One who does not know this is a show bottle administrator. By training the citizens in the devotional service of the Lord, the head of a state can be free in his responsibility. Otherwise, he'll fail in the onerous duty entrusted to him and thus be punished by the supreme authority. There is no other alternative in the discharge of administrative duty.
Yeah. So what is the foremost duty of the leader, Prabhupada says here? To educate? You all captured it? There is only one thing being said here. To train the citizens in the worship of Lord Vishnu and not let them engage their senses for sense gratification. That's the main thing. And if a leader does this, he is successful, he says. So this should be the prime focus. Otherwise, providing all other facilities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that is secondary, according to Prabhupada here, if he says here. Like material welfare will follow spiritual welfare like a shadow. Just like when you walk, your shadow follows you. Like that, material welfare will follow if we give emphasis on this one supreme welfare, he's saying. So what leader I gave? What title?
Leader's duty towards his dependence.
One more we will read. 13th one. Yesham natushto bhagavan yajnalingo janardhanah tesham shramo hyapārthāya yadātmānādhṛta svayam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests.
See, you will see, you know that verse, Nitya Nityanam, Chetana Chetanam, Yeko Bahunam. See, this Yeko Bahunam principle can be seen everywhere. In the whole creation. Like all our senses of our body serve the belly. And the belly nourishes the senses of the body. All citizens serve the PM, Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister nourishes the citizens. Correct, no? You will see. In the family, all family members obey the father. And the father nourishes the family members. You will see that. Similarly, all the living entities are counted as Nityo Nityanam. So they have to serve Eko Bahunam, one supreme. And then in turn, they will be nourished by that supreme. So therefore he is saying, Yesham Natushto Bhagavan, again in Gujarat. If he is not satisfied, everything is useless, he says. In the purport, Prabhupada is saying, the third line, Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord. And similarly, persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. How is the Lord satisfied? The Lord is satisfied by the process of Navida Bhakti. So it is in one's own self-interest to execute such devotional service. And anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest, like the Prabhupada says. So same point Prabhupada has emphasized here. That means the whole society should be molded in such a way that they give devotional service the prime, importance. So even in a community, in a devotional community also, what is of prime importance we have to see. Actually, especially in the modern times, we are finding worldwide a new wave coming up called us on being human. Everywhere, people are wearing T-shirt on being human. So because people are overemphasizing on this, many people are becoming weak in character. They say, you know, man, woman can freely mix, but nobody should point finger to them. Why? You should be human. You should not finger point. Similarly, people may study in the college, or they may just not study. They may do job or not do job. If parents catch them and ask them, beta, what is going on? You should be human. On being human. In the name of being human, all kinds of nonsense is going on all over the world. And that on being human is entering into the realm of religion also now. It has entered. So, now, in the name of being kind, courteous, and human, and sensitive, God has gone to the background. Nowadays, people are talking about spirituality without God. Spirituality without God means, you know, you should be friendly, you should be helpful, you should be kind, you should be sweet, and you can do whatever you want. And why do you bring in God, religion, and stereotyped religion and rituals and all these things? It brings in orthodoxy, you know. It makes people very too rigid. It makes people fanatical. People say, you know, this is what religion is. You should do like this, you should not do like that. Oh, these things are killing our human sensitivity. Therefore, we don't want any cult, any religion, rituals, any particular forms of worship. We are free. We will go to church, we will go to mosque, we will go to, you know, Buddhist temples. Anywhere we want, we will go. Sometime we will sit in meditation. Other time we will have sex life with anybody, like cats and dogs. You can do whatever you want. Actually, same people who come and sit in bhajan, they also want to freely mix with boys and girls. Because their only religion is sense gratification. If bhajan gives me sense gratification, I like it. If wandering with man or woman is giving me sense gratification, I like it. Basically, being human means give me freedom for sense gratification. That's all. That is the religion. Therefore, this is a modern day disease which is prominently cropping up. And the biggest problem with this disease is this disease looks very attractive. Beautiful disease it is. Because human sensitivity looks like religion, although it has nothing to do with religion at all. Actually, human sensitivity is a corollary benefit of being a godly person. See, if you are a godly person, you will also be humanly sensitive. But a humanly sensitive person is not always God conscious. There are many people who think, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And this is the ultimate goal of life, they think. No. It's not possible for one living entity to, you know, protect and serve another living entity without the sanction of Supreme Lord. So, dismissing Supreme Lord and trying to be happy in a world of illusion, scratching one another's back in the name of being sensitive is a grand illusion. It's a very grand illusion. So therefore, Manu Maharaj was not like that Maharaj. Manu Maharaj was an intelligent person. He knew, yajñārthāt karmaṇaḥ anyatra lokoyam karma. He knew that principle. He knew that principle. He was not advocating all kinds of religious principles in the name of, you know, in the name of human sensitivity. Human sensitivity is one disease, and we could name dozens of such diseases in this day and age. Nowadays, you know, if you eat vegetarian food, you are a very religious person. One fellow says, I am such a very pious person that I eat only vegetarian food. Prabhupada said, even monkey eats vegetarian. Monkey is also vegetarian. So how are you better than a monkey, tell me? Nowadays, if somebody is doing yoga, he is considered a religious person. But sir, why are you doing yoga? So that he can have a healthy body to enjoy sense gratification. Correct, no? How does it make you religious? You know, if somebody is doing yoga, somebody is eating vegetarian food, somebody is working on his health and doing pranayama, that doesn't make you godly. If your yoga and pranayama is aimed at Vishnu, which is the eighth step samadhi, then you are godly. Without connection with Vishnu, there is no godliness at all in all other mundane activities. సో దర్ ఇస్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఇల్యూషన్ ఇన్ కలియుగ. దేర్ ఫార్ ఈ సెయింగ్ మను మహారాజ్ వాజ్ ప్రాపర్లీ అవేర్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు అండ్ ద నవవిధా భక్తి, దట్ ఈస్ రిలిజన్, దట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ రిలిజన్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఇఫ్ దట్ ఈస్ గివెన్ ఆల్ మెటీరియల్ థింగ్స్ విల్ ఫాలో లైక్ అ షాడో. జస్ట్ లైక్ యూ వేర్ ద కుర్తా, వెన్ యూ వాక్ కుర్తా ఆల్సో కమ్స్ విత్ యూ, ఇసన్ట్ ఇట్? సిమిలర్లీ ద మెటీరియల్ వెల్ఫేర్ విల్ కమ్ విత్ యూ ఇఫ్ యూ ఫోకస్ ఆన్ స్పిరిచువల్ వెల్ఫేర్. అవర్ క్రతు ప్రభు హడ్ కమ్, యూ హర్డ్ హిమ్ స్పీక్ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్, యు నో వాట్ హీ సెడ్? అండ్ ప్రభుపాద్ టోల్డ్ హిమ్ టు గివ్ అప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కరెక్ట్, ఆల్దో హీ ఈజ్ అ మ్యారీడ్ మ్యాన్, ఈజ్ ట్రావెలింగ్ అండ్ ప్రీచింగ్. ఎస్టర్డే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ వన్ పర్పోర్ట్ 7:15:15 భాగవతం. ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ సెక్షన్ యూ రీడ్ అబౌట్ 10 verses, 7:15:15 ఆన్వర్డ్స్. ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ దట్ ఇఫ్ అ పర్సన్స్ ఫోకస్ ఇస్ టు ప్లీజ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, దెన్ సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విల్ అరేంజ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దట్ హీ నీడ్స్. హీ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ టు బాదర్ అట్ ఆల్ విత్ ఎనీ మెటీరియల్ కమాడిటీస్. యాక్చువల్లీ ద చేజ్ షుడ్ బి ఆఫ్టర్ విష్ణు, ద చేజ్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి ఆఫ్టర్ మెటీరియల్ కమాడిటీస్. అండ్ ద చేజ్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్టర్ విష్ణు, సడన్లీ యూ విల్ ఫైండ్ దట్ ఇన్ విష్ణు స్వీట్ హూ ఇస్ దర్? యా, లక్ష్మీ ఇస్ దర్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ చేజ్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఓన్లీ లక్ష్మీస్ ఆపలెన్సెస్, అండ్ లక్ష్మీ ఆల్సో విల్ బికమ్ చంచల అండ్ యూ విల్ నాట్ గెట్ విష్ణు ఆల్సో, యూ విల్ మిస్ బోత్, కరెక్ట్నా? Therefore, Swayambhu Manu Raja was guiding all the citizens towards how to worship the Supreme Lord. Manu Ruvacha. Okay. We will read a few. Adesheham Bhagavato Varteyami Vasudana Sthanam త్విహానుజానీహి ప్రజానాం మమ చ ప్రభో.
శ్రీ మను సెట్, ఓ ఆల్ పవర్ఫుల్ లార్డ్, ఓ కిల్లర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సిన్స్, ఐ షెల్ అబైడ్ బై యర్ ఆర్డర్. నౌ ప్లీజ్ లెట్ మీ నో మై ప్లేస్ అండ్ దాట్ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ మీ.
యా, సో మను వాజ్ వండరింగ్, ఈస్ కాలింగ్ మీ క్షితి ఈష, బట్ వెరీ వెరీ క్షితి, ఐ డోంట్ నో, యు నో దట్స్ వాట్ హి హస్. You are calling me, I am the master of earth, but I don't know where earth only is there. Because what had happened to earth? Submerged in Garbhoda Koshan. Therefore he is asking, which is the place that I am supposed to rule? Like that he is saying. And he is asking about the prajanam, mama, through me, what will be the living entities will be born through me, what all to be done, please tell me. Read the next translation, 15.
O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth which is merged in the great water, because it is the dwelling place for all the living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah. So he knows that Brahma is not the Supreme Lord. Therefore he is telling, it can be, you know, if, oh Brahmaji, now the earth has fallen into the Garbhoda Koshan. If you endeavor to get it back and by Lord's mercy, the earth can be reinstated in her position. After that, I can do my duty, like the Manu is telling. Now, 16:17, read the translations.
Sri Maitreya said, thus, seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us.
Yeah. See, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the devotees of the Lord, who are confidential servitors, sometimes they are perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. See, you can be perplexed, but you are not allowed to become discouraged. Why? Because you are not alone. You have the Supreme Lord. They have full faith in the Lord. And he paves the way for smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Arjuna was perplexed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna gave the knowledge. And he gave up his discouragement and then he fought the battle. Yes?
Vijay, we heard this many times. I wanted to clarify this. The earth is submerged into the waters.
Correct.
Ocean, it's told.
Yeah.
that is
Garbhodak ocean.
So it's a current planet what we are talking about that got submerged?
Yes.
Or any other lokas?
No, this only, earth only. Uh-huh. Yes. And then the Lord goes, becomes the Varaha and enters into water, sniffing, finding out the earth and lifting it up and coming and keeping it back in its position.
And that time Manu Maharaj was there in the Brahmaloka?
Yes.
So other lokas are intact, only the middle planetary, yeah, that correct. Earth has got submerged.
Yes, correct. That is true, yes. So, this is a very important point being mentioned here, that sometimes the devotees of the Lord can be perplexed. Like when Dhritarashtra was missing, who was perplexed? Then whom did he approach? Narada. He took shelter of Narada, which is as good as taking shelter of Krishna. Correct, no? And then Narada removed his perplexity. When Harshashoka died, who was perplexed? Chitraketu was perplexed. Then again Narada Angiramuni came, removed his perplexity, they removed it. And then he became enlightened and became initiated disciple of Narada. Subsequently, similarly Arjuna was perplexed. Similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj was perplexed after the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, Bhishma cleared his perplexity by answering his questions, isn't it? So in this way, when a devotee of the Lord is confused or bewildered, one should not remain in that state of bewilderment or confusion. That is not a good platform. Because that's the platform where one gets more and more doubts or one is more and more confused. One should immediately approach, therefore see the theme. What is the theme?
Surrendering to Lord in moments of confusion.
Dhruva Maharaj was fighting a battle with Yakshas. At one time the arrows of the Yakshas which were showered from the sky, not only just the arrows, they were actually mayavi items which fell. Like for example, many animals like elephants and lions and tigers, which were all beheaded and they were falling from the top. Even stool and urine and pus and mucus and bile, they were pouring down like rains also. And then later on, bludgeons and swords and spears and lances and all those javelins, and they were all falling from the sky also. So weapons were falling, animals were falling, dirty items were falling, and the yakshas were showing up on the sky and disappearing. Like that, different places they were showing like this. When Dhruva Maharaj saw that, and he became completely covered over, like the clouds covering the sun. Sun sometimes becomes hidden in the clouds, no? Like that he became covered over. It appeared that Dhruva is finished. It appeared like that. At that time, the sages going in the Akashmar came. They immediately talked to themselves. Hey, this is Autanapada. There is one shloka. Autanapada. Autanapada means he's Uttanapada's son. Dhruva. You know, he's submerged. He's a good boy. He's a devotee of Vishnu. Now, temporarily, he is becoming illusioned and confused. Becoming covered over. So, they gave a upadesh from the Akashmar. Dhruva, do not fear. Don't get discouraged. You chant Lord Narayana's name and use the Narayana Astra, and in one moment all these illusions will be dispelled. And then Dhruva did it, and then like a sun coming out of the cloud, brilliant sun coming out and clouds getting dissipated. Like that it happened. Dhruva came out. Like that. So there are innumerable examples in Shastras of even devotees becoming bewildered or confused. So we don't claim that as devotees we can never be confused or we can never be bewildered. Great devotees are bewildered. Who are we? Can any of us claim that I can never become bewildered? Like we say, Nitya Siddha devotee never forgets the Supreme Lord even for a moment. He remembers always. But sometimes Lord puts Nitya Siddha devotees also into confusion and bewilderment, like Arjuna or Yudhishthira Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, to show that even when Nitya Siddha devotees are apparently confused, what they do? They take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So that we can learn a lesson. In moments of bewilderment, confusion, one should rush to the feet of Supreme Lord. Here also, Brahma is thinking, how will I do this project? One of my projects is to do creation, which I have been doing, but here I am finding one planet only has fallen inside. It's fallen into the Garbhodak ocean. How will I dive deep into the ocean? And get the, even if I dive deep also, how will I pick it up? Will I be able to pick up the earth and bring it and place it in orbit? And this is not within my capacity. So any of you, when you were given an assignment, did you suddenly find that some service given is beyond your capacity? Anytime you found, correct, no? Can happen to us. So at that time, what should we do? Take shelter of Supreme Lord. Or take shelter of superiors, and one can. Of course, in Apachitistata, in that verse, he says that you can also ask according to my Shakti, please give me the service. But here Brahma is thinking, right now the next thought that comes in Brahma's mind is, it is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Like that he is concluding. See, in that 17th verse. What can we do who are engaged in the matter of creation? We people are incapable. So only Lord can do this. It's beyond me. Just like Advaita Acharya Prabhu is telling, who can deliver the Kali Yuga Jivas unless Lord Chaitanya personally descends? So better let us call the Lord. Advaita Acharya Prabhu said, I will roar like a lion as Advaita Simha and invite the Lord to descend. And if the Lord doesn't descend, I will take my chakra and finish all these yetis. You know, he said, of course, he didn't have to do the chakra business because Lord descended. So in this way, a devotee has full faith that what is impossible for you and me, it is possible, very easily possible for the Lord. The devotee has full faith. So this is one special prerogative of devotees, that whenever they are in danger or confusion or bewilderment or difficulty, they will rush to Lord's lotus feet and take shelter, as Brahma is doing. Yeah. Read the next theme.
Lord's incarnations can be bewildering and inconceivable to even demigods and sages.
Yeah. 18 to 25, read the translations. Yeah.
O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb.
Yeah, this much only. Can you imagine? Only this much portion was the... Something came out from Brahma's nose. Even Brahma didn't know what it was. Read further.
O descendant of Bharata, while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation as gigantic as a great elephant.
Next.
Struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, began to argue in various ways.
Yeah, we'll recite that verse. Marichi pramukkair viprayhi kumarair manunasaha drishtva tat saukaram rupam tarkayam asachitradha. See, drishtva tat saukaram rupam, they saw that boar form and they all started doing tarka vitarka. Means, what is this? Everybody was giving their interpretation, speculative interpretations. I read further. Kime tat sukara vyajam satvam divyam avastitam aho batascha ahobata ascharyam idam nasayame vinisritam. Saying ahobata ascharyam idam, hey, this is very surprising to me that nasayame, from my nose only it has come out. What is this most amazing creature? I don't know. It looks very extraordinary. Like that Brahma himself is saying. Yeah.
Is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? It is very wonderful that he has come from my nose.
Next one.
First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu?
And the purport, last line purpose is, the uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. Read 23 translation.
While Brahma was deliberating with his sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu roared tumultuously like a great mountain.
Yeah, because the Lord wanted to confirm, yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. like that. Yeah. And then the 24th verse.
The omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead enlivened Brahma and the other elevated Brahmanas and the other highly elevated Brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions.
Nishamyate garghritam svakheda kshayishnu mayamaya sukarasya janastapasatyanivasinaste tribih pavitrair munayo grinansma.
When the great sages and thinkers, who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, heard the tumultuous voice of the Lord Bor, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas.
Yeah. So, see in the previous purport, 24th purport, middle purport saying, and the mountain like boar did not fill them with any kind of fear, although the Lord's resounding voice was tumultuous and echoed horribly in all directions as an open threat to all the demons whom I challenge his omnipotency, he says. And then later in the 25th purport, Prabhupada is saying, the third or fourth line, the sound which he vibrated as the boar incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka. So therefore they all replied praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. So one more 26th verse also, you read it?
Playing like an elephant, he entered into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him.
Yeah. So, when the boar incarnation came from Brahma's mouth, Brahma's nose, and went up, 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 the size of the boar started becoming bigger and bigger. So, all the sages and demigods headed by Brahma were watching it. And even Brahma himself says, from my nose, what has come? He doesn't know what it is. You can imagine Brahma has four heads and the most intelligent. Even he is bewildered. Therefore you find name vidu swaragana. Or like we say, muhyanti atsureha, words are all used. Because even the demigods are bewildered by, therefore I have written this theme. Large incarnations can be bewildering and inconceivable even to the demigods and sages. So when the rishis and munis were watching, they started interpreting what this could be. Because is it an incarnation of the Lord, or is it some demon, or is it an amazing creature? Because there are many other personalities, no? Like rakshasas are there, yakshas are there, different creatures are there. What is this creature? So none of them was able to ascertain any one thing to be the truth. So, but one observation they made, this boar, when it was flying, the boar had a kamala nayanam. That comes later, you'll find. He had eyes like lotus petals. Only one person has eyes like lotus petals. Who is it? Shantakaram, Bhujagashayanam, Padmanabham, Suresham, Vishwadharam, Gaganasarsham, Megavaranam, Shubha Angam. Huh? Lakshmi Kantam. He has a Kamala Nayan. So he has eyes like lotus petals. So they made observation and they felt, oh, these eyes we have seen somewhere. Where they saw, they have seen only in Vishnu's eyes, which is also Kamala Nayanam. And the boar was roaring. And the boar thought, hey, you guys don't know who I am. I am your Swami, your master only. Because you are bewildered, don't worry, I will help you to understand me, who I am. Then you will find in Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and in one of the shlokas later, it will come also, how the Lord sprinkled the water from his body by shaking the hair on his body. When he shook the body, the waters were sprinkled on the sages and demigods. And it was smelling like rose-scented water. And then they immediately understood. They were enlightened by that sprinkling of water. They got enlightened. Then what was the enlightenment they got? That is mentioned in this last two verses we read. that yes, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come in this form. See, Lord comes in various forms, like he comes as a Kurma Avatara under the Mandara Parvat, or he comes as a Matsya, or here we find he comes as a Varaha. So many times you find this in the schools and all, sometimes they teach the children that the Dashavatara is like a human evolution. You know, what is the first one? Matsya, fish, it is water, water creature. And then Kurma, it's amphibian, you know, from water that a tortoise comes out, you know. And Varaha is a land creature. See, basically they take this Dashavatara and try to fit it in Darwin's theory. Correct, no? Because somehow or other they have to teach bogus theories, and further they are using these things to fit. Therefore, several places Prabhupada has written about these incarnations. The very first thing we should know about these incarnations is that the Lords, this Dashavatara, they are all direct expansions of Krishna. Like we, in that song, Jayadeva Goswami's Dashavatara Stotram, always he says, Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira Jaya Jagadish Hare. That song Prabhupada quotes somewhere. The Sukara Rupa also he quotes. See, in that purport of 27, Prabhupada is quoting. Vasati dashana shikare dharani tavalagna shashini kalanka kalevani magna keshavadreta shukara rupa jai jagadish hare jaya jagadish hare. All glories to Lord Keshava or Krishna, who appeared as the boar. The earth was held between his tusks, which appeared like the scars on the moon. So in this way, number one thing, first thing we have to know about the incarnation is they are all Sachidananda Vigraha, all of them. And all these incarnations exist within the body of Krishna, and Krishna can manifest them anytime. He can come as a Narsimha, he can come as a Shukara, he can come as a Kurma, he can come as a Matsya, like that. So it is offensive to think that these forms are temporary. They eternally exist in Krishna's body, and Krishna can manifest it anytime he wants. So they are not like the temporary manifestation of our body. So, and these bodies are all Sachidananda body also, and they are non-different from Krishna. Devotees should see these incarnations as good as Krishna actually. They are coming in Vishnu Tattva only. Vishnu Tattva category. So in one class I had given an assignment to students on what are the differences between Shukara Rupa of the Lord, Varaha Avatar of the Lord, and Indra becoming pig. Because both are pig, no? Both are boars. Who can say what are the differences? Indra pig versus Lord Varaha. Yes, one will take. Yes, one.
Indra was forced to become a pig, which is metal body.
Yeah.
Whereas Lord's body is completely spiritual.
Yeah, and he's not forced. Because Leela means it's voluntarily accepted role for enjoyment. So Lord is accepting the Varaha Rupa for enjoyment. Correct now? To enjoy Leela with his devotees. Whereas Indra was accepting out of his sweet will. He was forced to become pig by some curse. Correct now? Thank you. Who else? Yes?
Lord has his full potency when he comes as Varadev. Indra, loses his potency.
Correct. Indra even became forgetful also. He became forgetful of who he was and he lost his potency. He looked like ordinary pig. Whereas the Lord had full potency, Vishnu potency. Yeah, he's accompanied by Shakti. Very good, thank you. Anybody else? Yes? Mic here?
Second case, inauspicious to even himself.
Who? He is saying Lord Varaha is auspicious to all, whereas Indra is inauspicious to himself also, he is saying. Isn't it? Because that he was led to forgetfulness and he was suffering terribly. Whereas Varaha was not suffering, Lord Varaha was, you know, that auspiciousness comes. The sages are telling in later verse, my dear Lord, we all belong to Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, where Ganges is constantly flowing and our bodies are purified by Ganges. by touching Ganges and Tulasi and performing Achaman and Puja and everything, we are very purified. But when the waters from your body touched us, we actually feel far more purified, although we are already pious. Like that they are saying, by these waters from your body touching us. So that means the waters from the body of Varaha are sacred, whereas the waters in which Indra is living are dirty, gutter waters. Correct, na? Yes. That's a good point. The Lord brings auspicious. Anybody else? Yes.
Indra, yeah. Indra got influenced because of the, got attached because of the influence of three modes. Lord is not.
Lord is beyond the three modes. He is Gunatita. Whereas Indra is Gunavash. Mayavash is Mayatita, correct. He is telling this verse, which we read one of the verse. It is said that Lord is actually personified sacrifice. Prabhupada says in the middle of the purport to 26, if you see, the breathing from the nostril of Brahma caused the appearance of Lord Boar. And therefore the Boar incarnation of the Lord is the personified Vedas. And there he says, whenever there is glorification of the Lord, it is to be understood that the Vedic mantras are being rightly vibrated. The Lord was therefore pleased when such Vedic mantras were chanted. And to encourage his pure devotees, he roared once more and entered the water to rescue the submerged earth. Neither he says. Yes. Yeah, one more hand was up. Yes. And the mic. He is saying, yeah.
Some purpose is there. Lord,
came as a boar incarnation to fulfill the purpose of delivering the earth and placing it in the orbit. Whereas Indra?
Indra came as a punishment.
He was punished actually to become a boar and he was suffering. Good point, yes. Lord has a lotus petal eye. Even as a Varaha is very beautiful. Yeah, Indra is ugly. So in this way, when you make an analysis, you can see the difference between, you know, materially conditioned body and spiritually the vibrant body of Varaha. And there are beautiful descriptions also. So, when once our famous Swami in India, you all know Vivekananda, he made one statement. He made a statement that if dogs were to make have a god for themselves, they will make a dog into a god, he said. Similarly, if humans want to have a god amongst themselves, so they made Rama and Krishna. That kind of thing, he said. But actually, God is impersonal. But this this point is refuted in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said that Lord Krishna, after creating all the millions of species of life, he was still dissatisfied. Because he thought that all these creatures are dumb and dull and dead creatures, like, you know, animals and birds and aquatics and reptiles and all. At that time, he thought, I will create one species which will be very powerful species. And in that species, the person can become enlightened about me and return back to Godhead. And which species he created? Human form. So then he gave the human form to male and the Radharani's form to the female. That kind of form Lord created, male and female. And Lord became completely satisfied. Therefore, you will find only in human form you can understand Shastras. Animals, birds, they are very dull. Prabhupada says, I cannot call a dog and tell him, you are not the body, you are your spirit soul. He will not understand me. Prabhupada says in one lecture, even if you tell a dog, he'll be watching. You know, you'll be bewildered. You can't understand what you are saying. But you can see, human beings, even if born in America, Canada, even they are able to understand. Correct, no? Human species, wherever they may be. Correct? But other than human, nobody can understand these truths. So God made man in his own image and form he made. So this Swami, he thought he is very smart because he is giving his own speculative understanding. But he is thinking man has made God. Man didn't make God. God has made man. Correct, no? Like for example, if a child is in the school thinking of mother and father at home, if somebody tells the child, hey, why are you imagining that you have mother, father? Why are you creating your mother, father? Child is not creating mother, father. Father is creating, father and mother creating the child. Correct, no? So God makes the living entities get the different bodies. We don't make any God's body. But because this Swami thought he is very smart, you know, he used his own fertile 200 gram of grey matter brain to speculate something on his own. Therefore, one should accept a Sadguru to hear in Guru Parampara, you see. So, therefore, this should be loudly preached everywhere, that all these dashavataras which people talk about, these are not ordinary. These are all Sakshat Keshava. Lord Keshava coming as Purma. So, if we read Varaha pastime, we will feel as much bliss as we, you know, read about the Lord, because this is non-different from the Lord. We know that this Krishna only coming in this form. Just like when, you know, in shops they have this lion mask. You have seen that? So when I was a schoolboy, I used to wear a lion mask and go into my sister's room and frighten her. Like that, I will do like that. Sister would get frightened, she would scream. Then I would take the lion mask and I would laugh at her. So similarly, when Prahlad is seeing Lord Narasimha, so he is saying, you know, Naham bibemyajitate ti bhayanakasya jehvarka netra bruguti rabhasogradamstrat antrasrajakshatajake sharashanku karna nirhradabhita digibha arivhinnakagrat. He is saying, Naham bibhemi, he is telling. I am not, because I know you are Krishna only. You are coming in this Ugra Rupam as Narasimha, but I have no fear, he is saying. Therefore, when we see Lord as Shukara, we don't feel uneasy. Hey, what is this? Lord is becoming pig. I think it's not very good. If we say it's good, bad is all on a material platform. Lord is absolute. And Lord, you see what he does when he becomes a pig, a boar, he goes underwater. Whether he sniffs in the water. Why he sniffs? Because pigs have a tendency to sniff. So Lord is accepting this type of form to sniff and find out where the earth is. So that cheshta, manushya cheshta am apan now. You remember I told before? He behaves like a human pig. I mean, like a human being, similarly behaves like an ordinary pig of this world by sniffing, finding out the earth and taking the earth and coming. And when he is coming with the earth and flying up in the sky, when he's flying, he looks very beautiful. The description is given in the next 2-3 verses we will read. It appeared as if an elephant is entering into a lotus pond and plucking the lotus and bringing outside. And outside the pond. Like that the Lord brought the earth. Another example is given. When the Lord was flying, in Lonavala, any of you have seen, the mountains will be kissed by the clouds in the top. You have seen that? That site will look very beautiful. Similarly, Lord Varaha looked like a mountain, and like the clouds in the top, the earth was in his. Earth was like a big shining moon on his tusks, and like the clouds touching the mountain. He looked very beautiful. So such descriptions are coming in there. Yeah, read 26 to 30 translations. Playing like an elephant, he entered the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him. Before entering the water, to rescue the earth, Lord Boar flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. How beautiful. How beautiful it is. So once I saw an aeroplane taking off. Immediately it was like Varaha. Flying. An aeroplane goes like this and it goes like this. You see? So like that Lord is flying in the sky, slashing his tail, roaring, making the roaring sound. And his hair is quivering in his body. So Prabhupada is saying, the Varaha's transcendental activities are described here. Yeah, Prabhupada says in the middle of the purport, his eyes are the sun and moon. Therefore, his very glance over the sky was as illuminating as sun or moon. He was like a big mountain, which means he was sustaining the whole earth. The Lord's body was as big and hard as the Himalayan mountains, like that he says. And then, further in 28, He was personally, read that? He was personally.
He was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu and was therefore transcendental. Yet because he had the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell. His tusks were fearful and he glanced over the devotee Brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. Thus he entered the water.
So, say again, read the theme.
Transcendental activities of Lord's incarnations should arouse wonder and respect.
In our heart, we should see when we hear such pastimes, what is our internal response to these pastimes? So, Lord himself says that, Madbhakta vinodartam karome vividaha kriyaha. I do these pastimes to arouse wonder in the heart of my devotees. So, when devotees see, oh, how wonderful Krishna behaves, how he came as Mohini Murthy and stole away the pot of Amritam from the hands of Asuras. How the Lord came as a Kurma and the whole mountain was kut-kut-kut-kut-kut-kut-kut-kut. It was, you know, abraded over his body and the Lord was feeling a great relief. So when you hear this type, similarly here the Lord is coming as a Varaha, he is slashing his tail, roaring with the sound, cutting the clouds with his hooves. Glancing at the sages and demigods. So one should get wonderment by seeing these amazing activities of our lovable Lord. The Lord actually, you see how kind he is, that he wants to give delight to his devotees. So therefore his pastimes are all not stereotyped or monotonous, like the jnanis or the shunyavadis think God means silence, you know, simply be silent or oh, that's all. God is so dull, completely dull and silent and stoic, with no variety. That is a very low understanding of God. The complete understanding of God is how Lord has such a variety of avatars in which he comes. And he delights the heart of the devotees with great wonderment. Therefore, there's a great exchange between Lord and devotees. Subsequently, you will see the Brahmanas will recite amazing prayers in glorifying Varahi. They call the earth as Vishnu Patni. Oh mother, you are actually wife of Vishnu and Lord Varaha is your husband. He is Sakshat Vishnu. So they see like that, the amazing prayers they offer, you will see. So the Lord's activity should not only arouse wonder in our heart or interest or delight, but it should also arouse respect in our heart for him. Why respect? How he is trying to protect the jivas by bringing the mother earth back from the water, and how he is, you know, he is master of Brahma, but he is assisting Brahma in fulfilling Brahma's project. It's actually Brahma's project to place all the planets and put all the 8.4 species. But when Brahma makes a request, Lord says, don't worry, I will do this for you. Lord is personally doing it for Brahma. Lord's Sachidananda nature and his divine nature, so that should arouse respect in our heart for his transcendental activities. Yeah, read the 35. You can go to 35. 35 translation.
O Lord, your form is worshipable by the performances of sacrifice.
Okay, one verse we will recite, the 34. 34 verse we will recite. Rishaya Vuchuhu. Jitam jitam te jita yajna bhavana Trayim tanam swam paridhunvate namaha Yadroma garte shunilil yuradhaya Tasmai namah karana sukarayate.
All the sages uttered with great respect, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glorious and all victorious unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body, the oceans are submerged.
Yeah.
For certain reasons to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar.
Next translation, 35.
O Lord, your form is worshipable by the performances of sacrifice. But souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. And in your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities.
So they are comparing the whole body of Varaha to Vedic sacrifice. The Purport Prabhupada is saying, there is a class of miscreants called Vedavada, Vedavadis. They don't believe in the incarnation of the Lord. What to speak of incarnation of the Lord as a worshipable hog? They describe worship of the different forms of incarnation as anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means bringing God to human level. They say, God is God, don't make him, you know, ordinary person like, you know, Rama, Krishna and all these different incarnations. They think like that. But little do they know, the 18 types of deficiencies, which are human defects, we call it. Like, for example, becoming angry, or lamenting, or weeping, or fearing, or telling lies. Like that, there are 18 defects in humans. So Krishna and Rama also show those 18 defects. Why? In order to make their behavior look like human behavior, to charm the hearts of devotees. Like, for example, when Krishna tells lies to Yashoda, I didn't steal butter. Is our heart charmed? Or we are wondering, how can God tell lies? Isn't it? Similarly, when Krishna becomes angry with Yashoda for not attending to him, or when God is running away from Yashoda, out of fear. So these are all apparently human defects, but when it comes in the Lord, it is very pleasing to his devotees. So only devotees can understand the Lord, not non-devotee Vedavada Rathas. They can never understand him. Like that he says that. These incarnations cannot be understood by him. So we have run out of time now. We have to conclude. So I finished up to 11. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Yeah.